Hi everyone, I'm Coach Ray and I'm one of the APSAT certified coaches here at Betrayal Trauma Recovery. I'm also a certified professional life coach, couples relationship coach, divorce recovery coach, and the coaching coordinator for our entire team of coaches here at BTR.org. This week I'm doing the podcast solo in order to give Anne a little bit of extra downtime with her children. This week I've received a number of emails from BTR listeners asking me to share more details about one of my upcoming coaching groups, the one entitled Facing Heartbreak, Steps to Recovery for Partners of Sex Addicts. Like several of our BTR coaching groups, this is one of our signature Facebook-based workbook study groups. I'm going to explain this group in a bit more detail. And as I do, I'd like to accomplish three things. First, if you think you might want to register for this group, I hope to leave you with a really good idea about whether or not it's the best choice for you. Second, if joining a group isn't on your agenda for this upcoming month, you'll still hear something that will inspire and enhance your own independent recovery work. And finally, I'll consider my job here done for today if I leave you with just a little bit more hope and faith that healing from sexual betrayal trauma isn't a vague possibility. It's actually a very real and very attainable probability. Which raises a question I'd love to ask our BTR listeners. If you've followed us for a while, have you experienced healing in your recovery from sexual betrayal trauma? What signs do you see in your internal life that indicate your healing is happening? Are there must-have tools you've learned to exercise in your relationships, or anniversaries you've celebrated, or milestones you've survived? If so, we'd love to hear about it. We invite you to share your comments anonymously below, and if this podcast has helped you, please consider rating it on iTunes so that more women in trauma can find the support they need to survive and heal. Let's start with this coaching group entitled Facing Heartbreak, Steps to Recovery for Partners of Sex Addicts. For those of you who are familiar with the name Dr. Patrick Carnes, Facing Heartbreak was co-authored by his daughter, Dr. Stephanie Carnes, along with two other veteran CSATs, or Certified Sex Addiction Therapists, Mari Lee and Anthony Rodriguez. Published by Gentle Path Press, this book has sometimes been called a companion volume to Patrick Carnes' book Facing the Shadow, a similar workbook for porn and sex addicts, and In the Shadow of the Cross, a Christian version of the same workbook. One of the things I love so much about Facing Heartbreak is the comprehensive quality of the content itself. This book doesn't swing in the dark, hit or miss, lucky to make contact with a few randomly common experiences. On the contrary, one of the best features about Facing Heartbreak is its strategic, sequential, and specific lineup of recovery steps. When helping my clients decide which group or workbook might suit them best, I often tell them this. With Facing Heartbreak, you take one brave step onto a fast-moving freight train. Then you hold on tightly, stopping at station after designated station, riding the rails of cross-country recovery. Because let's face it, for most of us women, recovery is stressful enough without needing to chart our own independent roadmap through the process. There's actually something truly special about a book that only asks you to crack open the cover, then continue taking the next indicated steps, one after another, fully knowing that along the way, you'll visit all of the important, crucial, and time-sensitive issues that comprise our communal experience of sexual betrayal trauma. Speaking of trauma, that's precisely where Facing Heartbreak begins, with Chapter 1, The Trauma of Discovery. Within these opening pages, you'll find a number of key self-assessments, allowing you to identify and rate your own symptoms of emotional, physical, and spiritual trauma. Immediately following that, Facing Heartbreak invites you to create your own partner's shield of safety, asking you to identify four quadrants of proverbial refuge for yourself along this journey, including S equals support, A affirmations, F areas of focus, and E sources of encouragement. Together, these four quadrants spell out the word safe. And as your coach throughout this workbook, I will frequently remind you to use your shield of safety when the process gets tough. Which again, if your recovery is anything like mine, you'll have your fair share of days that just aren't easy. So having customized your shield of safety, Facing Heartbreak digs deep into the good stuff with Chapter 2, entitled Manage the Crisis. And here we find one of the next things I love so much about Facing Heartbreak. This workbook has its priorities straight. In the interest of establishing safety and stability in facing the trauma induced by our loved one's sexual betrayal, managing the crisis is all about boundaries. The limits we conclude are absolutely necessary to protect ourselves within our relationships, emotionally, physically, sexually, and environmentally. This chapter provides a straightforward process for each area of self-protective boundaries, including the challenge of defining consequences, or as I prefer to call them, responsive actions, in the event that these boundaries are violated by our intimate partners. In addition to managing our crisis through self-protective boundaries, this chapter also addresses the important topic of what, when, and how much to tell others regarding the sexual betrayal and our subsequent trauma. Readers are prompted to create a detailed communication plan, one that honors both our need for safety and privacy, and balancing that with concurrent needs for support and community. As you might imagine, both of these areas of crisis management lend themselves to particular challenges. So I'm going to tell you something I'd tell you even if I wasn't a betrayal trauma recovery coach. Self-care boundaries, including these boundaries that determine when, what, and how much to tell others, is not an area where most women successfully navigate all by themselves. I know I certainly couldn't back when I was new to this whole overwhelming experience. Which makes Chapter 2 a prime example of something you'll get from me as your BTR coach through this workbook. I will provide as much back and forth Q&A as you need while drafting your own unique boundaries, which means you won't need to face one single element of it without my training, experience, and support to back you up. Now, by this point in the book, we are almost one full month into our four-month Facing Heartbreak coaching group experience. And this is when we approach Chapter 3, How to Deal with the Emotional Aftershock. Now, I'll be honest, this chapter tends to get heavy because in this section, we come face to face with some of our most painful aha moments. And we highlight some of our most significant and retrospective hindsight through exercises that help us to identify our guy's deceptions, manipulations, gaslighting, and other forms of relational and psychological abuse. Together, we document our discoveries, record a chronological timeline of our most memorable events, and make an inventory of losses we've suffered as the result of sexual betrayal. Then envision making peace with the pain of those specific losses. In this chapter, we spend time learning to distinguish anger from other emotions, and we explore features of shame, denial, distraction, and emotional numbness. Finally, we each write a personal letter expressing the weight of our unfiltered feelings toward porn and sex addiction. And trust me when I tell you that this letter is, without question, one of the most productive and empowering exercises many women in trauma have ever experienced. As the coach for this group, I'll have your back each step of the way. I'll hold space for you as you hold space for your own, sometimes fierce yet sometimes fragile, selves. Now, at this point, I have a theory about something. Having made it through the intense emotional aftershock work of Chapter 3, I think the authors of Facing Heartbreak did us a favor and gave us a much-needed break from staring down our own emotional overwhelm. Because in Chapter 4, we shift gears a bit, turning our attention to the chapter entitled The Nature of Sex Addiction. Up to this point, while we have, very appropriately I might add, prioritized the ways our guys' compulsive and problematic sexual behaviors have impacted us, we pivot here for a few compassionate moments to better understand how sex addiction impacts them. This is our chance to explore several common preconceptions about sex addiction, including statements like, it doesn't exist, and if he cheated, he's automatically a sex addict, or every sex addict was molested as a child. We share about the ways we may or may not recognize factors that contributed to our guy's problematic sexual behavior, including issues like gender abuse, childhood trauma, sexual exposure, or other kinds of unhealthy influences. As we delve into these areas, as your coach, I'll contribute my 16 years of awareness and experience of sexual betrayal, both in my own two marriages and within the lives of hundreds of women I've met and supported along this journey. But better yet, through my professional affiliation with APSATS, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, I am extremely well-networked with some of the smartest, most savvy, most academically advanced experts on the topic of porn and sex addiction, all within the reach of a click of an email. Meaning that if you have nagging questions about these issues that you've never had a chance to ask or answer to your satisfaction, this is your time. If together you and I encounter something outside my scope of awareness and training, I'll reach out to my peeps and I'll get an answer for you. Sometimes it really does help to know people who have literally written the books on subjects like this one. In Chapter 5, we come back to us. And this chapter is a favorite for many women as we begin to explore the section entitled How to Communicate Our Feelings. In this case, how to communicate them within a relationship wounded by sexual betrayal. First, we identify some of the unspoken rules from our childhoods. And while those issues are not the cause of our betrayal trauma, understanding them goes a long way toward helping us communicate our pain within our wounded intimate relationships. Equipped with newfound keys to initiate productive and empowered communication, even about our most dreaded hot-button topics, we close Chapter 5 by writing an emotional impact letter to the addict himself. Much as we wrote a letter to sex addiction in Chapter 3, this statement invites us to articulate the depth, severity, and specificity of our betrayal trauma. Facing Heartbreak prompts us to describe the thoughts, feelings, pain, and fear we've been suffering since discovery, including the cumulative losses of our emotional, sexual, relational, and spiritual safety. In some cases, women do either read or deliver their emotional impact letters to their sexually addicted loved ones, ideally in an environment facilitated by a trained therapist, coach, or spiritual counselor. In other cases, women choose not to communicate the content of their letters. Instead, they consider it an inside-only job, choosing to retain the value, effort, and personal validation they've poured into that letter for themselves, close and safe at heart. And this is when I invite participants to pause and take a very deep breath. Or two or three. Actually, why don't we all take a deep breath together for just a moment? Breathing in and out. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel better already. Because at this point in our journey, having written that emotional impact statement, most of us feel like we've let some serious trauma weight roll off of our shoulders, which makes it an ideal time to stretch, to reach, to reorient, and often to breathe again for the very first time in a very long time. By this point in the book, we've only got 1 month left in our 4 month Facing Heartbreak coaching group. As we move into chapter 6, the one entitled Make Empowered Choices, we find one of my personal favorite sections, as it encourages us to take ownership of any issues or coping mechanisms that may actually be harming us more than they're helping us. Several tools and exercises invite us to deeper levels of self-introspection and self-awareness, and it's within this chapter we refresh our opening themes of self-care, self-focus, and self-support. Encircled and empowered by one another, we even tiptoe, sometimes very slowly, into the topic of forgiveness, in conjunction with issues like ownership, restoration, growth, and empathy. So just FYI, at this point, you probably want to keep taking those deep cleansing breaths, because here we come to chapter 7, the one entitled Reclaim Your Sexuality. And like the other deeply challenging, intimidating, and sensitive themes in this book, Facing Heartbreak handles this one beautifully. With yet another series of simple self-assessments, we women are invited to reflect upon our own awareness of sexual hurt, sexual health, and sexual hope. This chapter prompts us to ask questions like, if your body could speak to you, what would it say? And what parts of my sexuality do I want to heal and explore in the future? Like other parts of this book, this topic isn't easy or automatic for most of us. However, in the company of me and other women, asking these same difficult personal questions, we find it exponentially easier than it would be if we were having this conversation in isolation all alone. Which brings us to the eighth and final chapter of Facing Heartbreak, the one entitled Choosing Your Next Steps. And as we cross this finish line representing 4 whole months of deep inner work, this is where our communal efforts become undeniably and expressively obvious. Together, we plan a special ceremonial virtual workbook burning party. And don't worry, you can totally keep yours intact if you want to. But bottom line, we stop to honor the spirit of companionship and sisterhood that's escorted us through this journey, and we communally vow to pay it forward. Paying it forward to others, yes, but also paying it forward into the future of our own yet unlived lives. We celebrate by leveraging the confidence we've developed from facing our heartbreak together, and we put it to work on behalf of our own brave and beautiful selves. So there you have it, ladies, my best attempt at a marathon sprint through the overarching themes of facing heartbreak. And as I said at the beginning, I hope I've left you wanting more, pursuing more, and believing in more healing. Because as we often say in recovery circles, it works if you work it, and you are really, really worth it. On a quick logistical note, many of you have emailed me with questions about how our Facebook-based coaching groups operate. I'll be upfront about this. The downside of a Facebook-based group means we miss out on the real-time on-screen group interaction of a traditional support group environment. So if virtual face-to-face eye contact coaching is what you really need, you'll find a better fit in one of our other groups, such as Top 10 Betrayal Trauma Topics. A live coaching group will begin around the same time as this one. That said, this Facebook-based group offers a few popular factors that just can't be beat. The first one is convenience. you can engage the group from the comfort of, well, anywhere. The second benefit is flexibility. You can engage the group whenever you have time and opportunity to do so. So, for example, in the middle of the night, if you can't sleep, or on your lunch break, or while you're nursing your baby. And the third benefit of this group is affordability. This is our most budget-effective coaching support option we offer here at BTR. So if finances are really tight for you, excluding you from other types of professional coaching support, this group might be an option that's more within reach. When all is said and done, joining myself and others through this Facing Heartbreak coaching group may or may not be what you need for your recovery in this specific moment. I'll tell you what I tell all of the women I support in a professional coaching capacity. Even if you feel uncertain about your next steps, which is ridiculously normal, by the way, I trust you completely to discern which direction you need to go at every single crucial decision-making juncture. Even at times when you feel deep levels of self-doubt or confusion, anxiety, or overwhelm, you are still impressively capable of making clear, intentional, and healthy choices on your own behalf. If you feel that facing heartbreak is one of those choices, I invite you to take that brave, bold step onto our fast-moving freight train. You can register on the support groups page at btr.org, and while you're there, you can order Facing Heartbreak using a link on our books and resources page. Beyond that, you can email me with any questions you have. My email address is rae@btr.org. That's rae@btr.org. And if for any reason this train doesn't feel like the right one for you, I invite you to honor that decision as well. Because the reality is, myself and Anne and the other amazing coaches I work with here at BTR, we're not going away anytime soon. Because sadly, it seems, neither are the sexual betrayals perpetrated upon us by the broken men we know and love. So in the meantime, feel free to be yourself, whomever that is and wherever you are, and rest assured that once this train departs the station, there will be another one coming soon behind it.